Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. The word of truth that you are about to hear is from Apostle Will T. Washington. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website at 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved under God, Yahweh, a workman, needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Amen. Shalom. We want first to greet those who are with us on iChurch. We thank you for joining us today. And if we have been a blessing to you, then we would like for you to let us know. One way you can do that is by sending a gift to us, because our desire is to exalt the name of Yeshua throughout the world. We understand that if you have not yet been enlightened on the name of Yeshua, you will not send an offering. But thank you for being here. Amen. All right. Are you all ready for a good trip or a bad trip? I'm not going to make any guarantees here today. One guarantee I can make, I'm going to send you on a trip. That's all I can say. Now, some of the things that I'm going to talk about today is delicate and sensitive. Could cause a little bit resentment by some. However, I beg you to listen with your spirit ear and not with your natural ear. And as the Apostle Shaul said in 2 Timothy 2:7, consider what I say, and Yahweh will give you the understanding. If you have a Bible, I would like for you to turn to Jeremiah. You would call him Jeremiah. Ironically, Jeremiah, and I would like for you to join us in the first chapter, the fifth verse. Let's start in the fourth verse. Then the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. Now this new is not that I was acquainted with you, but this new is that I knew everything about you. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Yahweh Elohim, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But Yahweh said unto me, say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. And the subject of what we're going to talk about today is created with a purpose. I said created with a purpose. I use the term created with a purpose rather than using the term created for a purpose, because I wanted to highlight that the very creation was with a purpose. And you cannot get away from the fact that all of you are created with a purpose. Now, there are three things that Yirmiyahu was trying to convey. The first was, and these things are very important, so you should open your ears. Before your father or your mother knew each other, I knew you. Now, wait a minute. Before your father or your mother knew each other, I knew you. Before you were ever a gleam in their eye, I knew you. And not only that, before your mother or your father ever met, I sanctified you. I set you apart for my use. And before you were ever born, I ordained you a prophet. So the thing Yahweh is trying to communicate to us today is that all of us have a purpose. You might think you are nobody. You might think you have nothing going on. You might think that this world would be better off without you. But I'm here today to tell you that you have a purpose in this world. You have a destiny to fulfill if only you would fulfill it. There's no accidents in Yahweh. So he says, before I formed you, Yahzah, before I fashioned you, before I made you, before I created you. And this is a potter's term. How many of you know what a potter is? A potter is one that works with clay. Before I ever got the clay, I knew you. Now, this is something very outstanding. Is that no one here is an accident. Even if your daddy never married your mama, you're not an accident. Even if you were raised in a home where everybody was poor and folks were drug addicts and drunk, you are not an accident. You are here for a purpose. That only you can fulfill that purpose exactly how it should be fulfilled. Now, others can step in and do the job, but it won't be like you. Because that's your purpose. Isn't it unique that Yahweh is talking about forming us? And he said, then Yirmiyahu is like most of us. Start with excuses. I would have done, but I couldn't have done. I would have done if my mama had been good to me. I would have done if I had not been abused. I could have done if I'd have had the same opportunity as others. I'm not able to do because I don't have the proper education. I'm not able to do because I don't like to stand in front of folks. I don't have any talent to do anything. And so Jeremiah says, oh God, I can't do this. I'm a child. I don't have the ability. And so Yahweh said to him, don't you tell me what you can or cannot do. Because you will go where I send you, and you will do what I commanded you. Because it is not you, but it's me. You might not feel you have the talent. You might not feel you're worthy, but it is not you. It is me. Let me give you an example. I was a young man searching to fulfill a destiny that I knew I had. And I think every one of you have felt like there's something I'm supposed to do. Right? What is it that I am placed here in this terra firma to do? And if you are like me, you felt that whatever you were placed here to do is what you wanted to do. And you wasn't considering Yahweh. But as a kid of about 10 years old, I saw a vision. Yahweh gave me a vision. And in this vision, a hand reached down from the clouds. And it had a Bible with gold letters saying, Holy Bible. And God said to me, take this Bible and preach my word. And every word that he spoke, every fiber of my body rejoiced. And I was converted as a child, not by a preacher, not in a church, but converted by that vision. And then when I became, so I stopped saying bad words, and I became this ideal child, because I knew instinctively Yahweh wanted a holy vessel that he could use. But when I got about 12, the girls began to look a little different, if you know what I mean. And I got involved in looking at the girls and looking at the fun I could have, and I just went away from that vision. And when I went away, my brothers and sisters, I plunged headlong into sin. All over the world, I was in the Air Force. All over the world, I was a tremendous sinner. Tremendous. Satan was very proud of me. He would say, have you considered my man over there, Will T. Washington? But yet, I sought to do good. I knew there was something I needed to do. But I wanted to forget about what God said and do my own thing. And so I joined the little club to help kids. I coached kids at the park and in the YMCA. And boy, I was doing my thing. Until one day, the bottom fell out. You say, what happened? Nothing actually naturally happened, but the bottom fell out of my life. I could not find a reason to live. I could not find any reason to be here. And so it looked like I was going to go crazy. And I just came back from a big meeting of the YMCA, and I'm driving home, and the world is falling apart. Do some of you know what I'm talking about? Huh? Now, nothing was happening out there, but whatever else was always happening. But my life, my world, was falling apart. And I said, I remembered God from way back there when I was a little boy. And now I'm 30-some years old, and I remembered God. And I said, Father, let me make it home, because I looked like I was just going to just turn the car over and just do it, do the end to it. I got home, and I remembered that my grandmama prayed. And so I fell down on my knees, and I said, Father, help me. And all of a sudden, my world seemed to start coming back together again. And so I got up. And as I didn't actually get up, I began to get up off my knees. And God said to me, you're not finished yet. So I went back down on my knees, and I said, what do you want me to do? And he directed me to a man who I had met in the YMCA. He had brought his son there. And he said, go see him. And I went and saw the man, and the man talking about cloven tongue like as a fire. And they all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues. I had no idea. I had never heard that. I had no idea about tongues and cloven tongues and fire. And I didn't know what this man was talking about. But I knew one thing. Yahweh had sent me to him. And so I gathered the information together. He gave me all these flyers showing the dove upon the head. You know all the paraphernalia that they show you. And I went home, and I showed it all to my wife. I said, I don't know what this cloven tongue like fire is. I've never heard of anybody, what they say, speaking in tongues. I don't know anything about this. My wife said, oh, no. We ain't going to get involved in that mess. And I said, what? She said, you got to make a decision, man. You got to make a decision. Me or this mess? And I said to my wife, I've already made my decision. You have to make a decision. God has spoke to me. So I'm trying to say to you, some of you, your lives are falling apart. And you don't understand it's because you are not living out your purpose. You're trying to do this on your own. And you can't do it. You can't do it. You say, well, maybe you were just having trouble. No, I had a good job. I had a home I owned. I had a couple of cars to drive. So I wasn't in financial trouble. I was in spiritual trouble. And until I would hear from God. And let me tell you something. If something said something to you and you don't know whether it's God or not, let me give you a piece of information. It's not God. If you don't know it's God, it's not God. Because when God speaks to you, when God speaks to your heart, you can't miss it. You can't miss it. You know it's God. Hallelujah, because he don't sound like nothing else. So he said, you'll go where I want you to go. You'll do what I want you to do. Because I created you for this purpose. Before you were ever born, I made you a prophet. Before you were ever in your mama's womb, I sanctified you. You all, none of you are here today by happenstance. You are here because Yahweh brought you here. You wasn't looking for Yeshua. You wasn't looking for a savior. You were trying to do your own thing. You wanted a career in the movie. You wanted a big time job. You wanted to be a rapper or a singer, or you wanted to make a lot of money. Isn't it amazing that we pursue things that we can't possibly do? I've seen so many rappers. Everybody's a rapper. Have you noticed? I've had brothers in the church. They are rappers. I'm gonna rap for God. And so one day I let one of the brothers rap. As we having a big program, so I said, okay. You know, he's rapping for God. And, you know, I know I'm stiff, and I know I'm unrelenting, and I know that I don't let folks do a lot. So I said, okay. That night, the music started. And he came down the aisle with black gloves on, big old boots on. Now, wait a minute. I thought you was going to rap for God. But he's looking just like one of the rappers that you see on the TV. If you're not convinced, if you think that this scripture is an apparition, and an apparition is something that happens out of the norm, that's an apparition. It's something that does not occur usually and under normal circumstance. If you think that this scripture happened to be one of those, then I want you to turn with me to Tehillim. So you go back, 139. Fourteenth verse. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance, Azam, meaning my person, my soul, was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. So he says, you knew me before you made me, and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. And this curiously wrought means woven. And the whole idea here is that Yahweh didn't just speak to make you, but he, like a weaver, wove you, and every part of you had to be exactly right. Because he had a blueprint for you in a book in heaven. That's what he meant when he said, I knew you before you knew you, before your mom and daddy knew one another. I had a blueprint of you in heaven. I knew what your head size would be. I knew what your hand side would be. And he said, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in thy book, my members was written, which in continuity was fashioned when yet there was none of them. And let me read that to you from the Hebrew. I praise you because of marvelous things. I am wonderful. The psalmist realized that he was wonderful. He's not saying he was wonderful to the world and everybody thought he was beautiful. But what he was looking at is how he was created. Do you all know you are wonderful? Each and every one of you are wonderful. Do you know your fingerprints don't match anybody else's? Do you know the pupils of your eye is different from everybody else's? Do you know that blood is automatically flowing through your body and millions of nerves are working and you're wonderful.
Hallelujah.
The veins and the blood and the brain is sending out electrical pulses. And you're not attached to any electricity. You are a marvelous work.
Hallelujah.
That Yahweh has done. You are unique in all of your makeup. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, there's nobody else like me.
Nobody else like me.
Nobody like you. When you are gone, there will be nobody like you left on this planet. We look at ourselves because of our circumstances. We look at ourselves because of where we were born and how life has treated us. We look at ourselves about what other folks think about us. Huh? We are trying to please other folks and trying to get them to accept us when we in our own person is marvelous. Glory. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm marvelous. I'm marvelous. I'm not talking about marvelous to the world, but I'm a marvelous creation of Yahweh. And there's nothing like me. Hallelujah. There's nothing like me. So I said, well, I'm just like everybody else. No, you're not. There's nobody like you. Well, I had some hard time. I was raised up in South Central Los Angeles, and I was in a gang. It doesn't matter. You was even a marvelous creation when you were in the gang. You were just on the wrong road. That creation had no business being where it was, but you were still marvelous. And all of you have a destiny to fulfill. But you have to start listening what Yahweh wants you to do. And he says, I praise you, 15 verse. I praise you because of marvelous things. I am wonderful. Wonderful was your works and my person knoweth that I am. Now watch this. The 16th verse. Thine eyes in the English text. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet unperfect. And in thy book, all of my members was written, which in continuously worse fashion, when as yet there was none of them. My Hebrew, my unformed galam, my unformed embryo. You know what he said? My unformed embryo You saw my unformed embryo. He didn't say you saw my embryo. You saw my unformed embryo. You saw me before I was ever an embryo.
Come on now.
Yeah, some of you have been beat down. Yeah, misused, abused. But you're a wonderful creation of Yahweh. And once you find your destiny, once you get in the right track, nobody can stop you.
Hallelujah.
Nothing can stop you. And in thy books, all of my members, they were written. In the day that thou formed me, there was none of them. And then he goes on to say, how precious are your thoughts unto me, O Yahweh? How great is the sum of them? And he said, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, you're still God's. You might go to hell, but you're still here. But you say, how can I be his if he let me go to hell? He didn't let you go to hell. You plunged into hell on your own.
Come on, say it. Come on.
But you're still his. He can't deny you. He won't deny you. You know, we think sometimes we're greater than God. We can have a son or daughter, and they go off the track, and they go wrong, and they go do bad things, you know. But we don't deny them. Huh? They could be down in the drug house, but we won't deny them. That's my daughter. That's my son. But we think God just throw us away and forget about us. But you say, what consolation is that if I'm in hell? Well, it's your choice. You know, we're all making choices here. Amon, we're all making choices here. And you have a right to go to hell if you want to. One thing Yahweh will not do, one thing he cannot do, he will not force you to follow him. He cannot. How many, I know, I've seen folks who try to force folks to love them. Have you seen folks like that? They're going to force you to love them. And they're going to be calling your house, going on your house, sitting outdoors, you know, watching the house. So, you know what I'm trying to say? Kind of force you to love them. How many of you did that work on? You said, I'm going to start loving them. Man, look, I don't want nobody who don't want me.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
Does that make sense to you? I saw a little thing on TV, these girls fighting about a man. Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? You're going to fight another woman because the man you think is yours is messing with her too? You think if you beat her down, he gonna love you? Oh my. Now, listen to this. How much time do I got a lot of time. I ain't got a lot of time, because they kind of said I have to be out of here at a certain time. And I probably will, but I might not. But I'm gonna try. That's all I can do is try. You ever heard people say, that's all I can do is try? All right, Netanyahu, the 10th chapter, the 30th verse. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. None of you have the same amount of hairs as the other. Your hairs have been what? Yahweh have numbered every hair on your head. And every one of us are a special creation. Yohanan. And I'm winding down. I'm not finished. I'm just winding down. 15. And this is the least thing you can do to work out your destiny. You have not chosen me. Yeshua said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. You have not chosen me. You didn't make up your mind you were going to come to me, but I selected you and ordained you that you should bring forth fruit. Now, you see that? I chose you. I ordain you. And that chose is eklego. I selected you out. Now, this is not talking about predestination, where you were going to be saved regardless. This is talking about foreknowledge. Yahweh said, I presented salvation to everybody, but I knew in my foreknowledge who it would be that wouldn't receive it. So I selected those who would. And I selected you so that you might bring forth fruit. The least you can do to work out your destiny is to bring forth fruit. How many of you understand that it is your destiny to bring other people to the kingdom, that you would bring forth fruit? That's your destiny. That's what you should be doing. But how many of you have brought anyone to the kingdom? Over the period of my life, many, many folks have been brought to the kingdom. I'm not talking about as a preacher. I'm talking about when I before I was a preacher. My wife and I, we had Bible, we'd travel. Anybody call us, say, would you come talk to my husband? Would you come talk to my wife? We were there. So he says that you might bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. Now watch this. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it. Now listen to that. You've been praying and your prayers have not been answered. And you've wondered, is God on vacation? Do he love me anymore? But you're not working out your destiny. He said, if you bring forth fruit, then you can ask what you will. And the Father will what? The Father will give it to you. But some will never work out their destiny. And there's a reason for that. And that is why I preface this message by saying, don't get mad at me what I'm about to say. Luke 21:34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that the day come upon you unaware. The word overcharge is the Greek word bario. It means becoming drowsy, unable to do what you should be doing. And right in the midst of that, this word, gluttony. Now, you want to look this up, you can yourself. Gluttony. The devil's tool today is food. Now, don't get mad at me. I'm just trying to help you. This started a long time ago, when the devil had people wanting to make more money, began to put hormones and steroids in your chicken and in your beef and in your pork, and they could grow a chicken in 6 weeks from a bitty. Some of you don't know what a bitty is. Bitty is a little tiny chicken. Just 6 weeks. You got a 10-pound hen because of the steroids. See, he started that. And then he started us to eating it. And we are eating ourselves into oblivion. Food is just as bad as alcohol when it becomes addictive. We don't want to hear this message because we can't stop eating it. When I was a young minister, I looked at the preachers around me, and all of them was fat. They were. And I said, Father, I promise you that I won't wind up a fat preacher. God has been tough. Let me tell you. We have to get control of our appetites. Don't get mad. When you get overweight, you cannot do the things that you need to do. You get drowsy and lazy. Consider what I say. So he says, overcharge. Overcharge. You can't do that. And he says, surfeiting, cryopoly. You want to start drinking and doing a little partying and having some pleasure. And you all know what that into. When you get involved in these things, you can't work out your destiny. The church, the saved folk, if anybody should be able to do things in moderation, it should be us. Look at your pastor. He was gaining weight. And so he went on a program to lose weight. And now he's slim and trim. ask him what he did and go with him on what he's doing. And get down that you can do God's will. But not only that, that you can do a better job everywhere. You can't do a good job when you're overweight, when you're 40 pounds overweight. Q told me he lost 40 pounds. You say 40 pounds, Q? 40 pounds. If you need a diet, check with Q, with Minister Daniel after service. He'll help you with that. And then he says, this thing of subfeeding, you'll just eat yourself into oblivion, drink yourself into oblivion, give yourself to anybody until they use you up and you're worth nothing. Whew, it's getting quiet. I feel for you. Once you get addicted to food, it's just like cocaine. Huh? It's just like cocaine. That food talks to you. You're trying to pass a buffet, and the food is saying, yoo-hoo, yoo-hoo.
Come on now, tell the truth.
And after a while, just like drugs, all you can think about is food. Oh, boy, I got to get out of here. You're sitting in church. I got to get out of here. I got to go. I'm going to go over to Sands Rib Shack and get me some ribs. Oh, and you know, the Chicken Shack has a special on today. And it only lasts to 5, and the preacher is keeping us too long because I can get 3 wings, 3 drumsticks, and 3 thighs, and some mashed potatoes for $5. And we just eating and eating and eating, and then we're mad because our wife don't want to be bothered with us. You too big to be crawling up on somebody. And then we mad. You don't love me no more. You used to always want, but now you don't love me no more. Man, and they love you, but you just too big. And then the sister, why are you avoiding me? I'm avoiding you because you too big. But you ain't even consider stop eating.
No.
You just gonna be mad at me. You changing. Oh, he's not changing. You was nice and petite. You changed. I told you, now don't get mad at him. I told you I was going to have to talk about this. So you say he's not supposed to be talking about this in church. Well, if I'm not supposed to be talking about it in church, why are you fat in church? What can I say? All I can say, people, is that God said, I created you before you were ever a twinkle in your mom's and dad's eye, I knew you. I created you for a purpose. I sanctified you, in other words, set you apart for my use before you were ever an embryo. I ordain you for something that you should do before you ever came out of your mother's womb. But you have to decide to fulfill that destiny. What am I supposed to do? You know, I thank God. I believe I've done exactly what I'm supposed to do. And I'm not bragging. But you have to decide today. You beautiful, marvelous creation. You have to decide whether or not you will do the things that will cause you to be effective enough to work out your destiny. Let's pray. Father Yahweh, we come to you in the blessed name of Yeshua HaMashiach. We thank you. We thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for the message that sometimes is not what we would like to hear, but it is for our good and for our betterment. We ask that you would help us. God, some things seem almost out of control, out of our control. We have gone to the limit. But you are God of miracles. You had a lame man walk after 38 years of not walking from his mother's womb. You raised him up. You have the power to help us become the sons and daughters that you desire for us to be. We thank you for that. In Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, keep your head bowed. If there's somebody here today, you're not saved, but you know you have a destiny. But you know that the only way you will be able to work out that destiny is that you come to Yahweh through Yeshua. I want to give you an opportunity today to start the process, to come, to say, I give my life a living sacrifice to the God that created me. If you're here today, I want to pray for you. If you raise your hands, I'll pray for you. Just raise your hands. If I raise your hands, I'll pray for us. One right here. If I raise your hands, I'll pray for you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Say, please pray for me. I know I need God in my life. I know that I'm created for a purpose and I'm not fulfilling the purpose. And I know life will never be good until I fulfill the purpose that I was created for. And if you raise your hands, I want you to come down to the altar. Let me pray for you personally. If you raise your hands, come down to the altar. I want to pray for you personally. Just stand right there, my brother. And what is your name, my brother? Derek. Derek has come down. Derek recognizes that there's something missing. I know that. You know that there's something missing. Things are not going right. Not going as you plan. Notice, as we plan. But God has a mission for you. He has a destiny for you. And I'm going to pray for you today. Father Yahweh, in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I pray for Derek here. He had the foresight to know that he needed to be in the house of Yahweh today, that there was a need here. I ask you to fulfill that need. In Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen. Derek, these gentlemen want to just talk to you a moment. Everybody else, look this way. How many of you still love the Lord? Give him a hand clap. Look.